This is a download of Farming Today from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to www.bbc.co.uk. The presenter today, Charlotte Smith.
Good morning. Today, cider vinegar and the drive to reduce antibiotics in farming. But first, this. Oh yes, an oldie but a goodie, much like my producer today. Well, the tenuous link? For many, combines and tractors are all the machinery a farmer needs, but regular listeners to this programme will know there's far more to farm machinery than that. This week, LAMA, the UK's largest agricultural machinery show, takes place in Peterborough, and there'll be more than 900 exhibitors. Well, in the many years I've attended, it always seems that better means bigger. But with emissions targets tightening and worries about soil compaction, is the industry keeping up? I spoke to Ruth Bailey, CEO of the Agricultural Engineers Association.
One of the things that we want people to recognise is that the agricultural equipment market is actually quite at the forefront of technology. We're right at the forefront of looking at how we can counteract all the problems that the upscaling of equipment and farming practices brings. And we also want to promote the fact that we see farmers as early adopters of technology. They are willing to look at solutions to problems that they have. So when we talk about emissions in particular, for example, it's been brought in directly from the automotive industry, and we've had to redesign, redevelop and to fix all the production lines to actually produce a new piece of equipment which complies with the legislation. Of course, that's brought the price in units up. What's happened is this price increase has correlated in a higher purchase of used tractors, and these used tractors are obviously, of course, not compliant with the emission stage 5 legislation. So it's not had the impact, I don't think, that it's meant to have environmentally, but it's certainly been significant impact on our industry.
What about the real advances, things like driverless tractors? Is that any nearer becoming a reality?
I think it is, in terms of we can send out a tractor that can be guided by, you know, GPS or remote control, as in a remote location. It's still the health and safety factor that you don't know what's in front of what's in front of you, the environment that's in front of you. It's so at the moment we still have that human element. But it's definitely there, the technology's there, but we still guide the process with the driver at the moment.
Ruth Bailey, more on machinery all week. The nominations have opened for this year's BBC Food and Farming Awards. Launched in 2000 to mark the 20th anniversary of Radio 4's food programme, the aim then was pretty much the same as it is now, to honour those who've done most to promote the cause of good food. Well, there are 10 awards categories this year, one of which is the BBC Future Foods Awards, which Farming Today is sponsoring. Well, it was awarded for the first time last year and went to Our Cow Molly. It's a dairy farm on the edge of Sheffield, which won for its innovative and proactive solutions to the falling price of milk, diversifying into new markets and working directly with Sheffield University to supply fresh milk. Well, farmer Eddie Andrews says the project is now expanding nationwide.
What the universities are wanting to do is to do sort of implement framework for fair trade milk, and that they're going to ensure that the monies that the universities in the UK put into buying milk, that a fair price gets paid to the farmer, as it does with the likes of coffee and tea. And that could be a huge difference in the milk market, because these guys are absolutely determined that it won't get lost in the supply chain, it will get to the farmers. And a meeting like that would have never happened before the Food and Farming Awards, I don't think.
Well, again this year, the award will celebrate manufacturers, retailers or farmers driving innovation in the food industry and shaping the future of our food. Well, to find out a bit more about what makes for a winning nomination, I spoke to Mike Stones, group editor of Food Manufacture magazine and one of this year's judges.
We're looking for food and drink industry heroes, unsung heroes. We're looking for inspirational stories to inspire the nation at a time when the food industry is at the crossroads of so much of national life, whether it's contributing to the economy, to employment, to tackling obesity, to reducing waste, to concerns about safe and nutritious food produced to ethical standards. So it can be inspirational stories of innovation from throughout the food chain, whether that's farmers, food manufacturers or processors, retailers, supply chain businesses. I think the key thing is that it's groundbreaking, pioneering work that sets a signpost as to where the industry can go to make exceptional practice best practice in the industry and help raise the industry standard in a way that's scalable, commercial and repeatable.
How much is this an innovative sector of industry?
The food and drink sector is awash with innovation. Whether it's farming, precision farming techniques, minimising crop inputs using GPS technology, soil mapping, advanced robotics for milking, and indeed, controversially perhaps in the future for some, GM technology after Brexit, to the food industry, which is specifically food manufacturing on lean and green manufacturing techniques, working with retailers to boost efficiency, cut waste, lift sustainability, and on auditing standards to be seen to do that. And of course, in retail, with the move to online sales, convenience food to go, smart packaging, a whole raft of innovation throughout the food chain.
Mike Stone's there, so please get nominating. You can put yourself or someone else forward, and all the information about how to do it is online at bbc.co.uk/foodawards. But do hurry up, you only have 2 weeks. Nominations close on Sunday, the 29th of January. Well, maybe someone will suggest one of the projects working with farmers to reduce the use of antibiotics in livestock. This is a big issue. There's a series of roadshows aimed at pig producers being held this month. And as we'll hear in a moment, it'll also be discussed at a dairy conference later today. The government wants the use of antibiotics in agriculture cut by a fifth. Farmers are already looking for alternatives to keep their livestock healthy. And for organic milkers at Acorn Dairy in Darlington, that means a daily dose of apple cider vinegar. Now, this is believed by some to be a natural antiseptic and immune system booster. BBC Look North's Stephanie Cleesby visited the herd.
At Acorn Dairy, they're using the humble apple to guard against infection, but not as you might expect.
We are given to the cows at 90 mils per cow per day. It goes into the feeder wagon with all the other rations, so the grass silage, the rolled wheat, the rolled beans that the cows are eating.
Farmer Graham Tweddle gives his cows a swig of apple cider vinegar every day to boost their immune systems. It's an idea he got from milk producers in the US, and he's seeing positive results.
Since we've started feeding apple cider vinegar, we've seen a 20% reduction in the somatic cell count in the cows. So the cows' own immune systems are having to do less work. So you can't say that cow's healthier because look at her, she's in a shinier coat, she must be on apple cider vinegar, but we can monitor the cow's health through the test.
The cows here have something of a luxury cow shed. They have memory foam mattresses, rotating scratching brushes, and now, of course, a daily tipple of apple cider vinegar. For the farmer, it's all about keeping them as healthy as possible. Each cow produces around 6,500 litres of milk a year.
We're aiming to stop the cows being ill in the first place, so that we don't have to resort to antibiotics if an animal is ill.
Did the cows think it's tasty?
I haven't actually left a bucket in front of one long enough to see if they'll stick their nose in it. I'm told they will drink it neat. I'm a bit cautious about that as I don't want it to taint the milk. We can't have customers ringing up saying the milk tastes of vinegar. But yes, they do seem to be enjoying it.
Darlington dairy farmer Graham Tweddle there. Well, Dave Barrett is Professor of Bovine Medicine Production and Reproduction at the University of Bristol. He's delivering a paper on antibiotics use later today to the CEMEX Dairy Conference in Glasgow. He told me there's a place for farmers to try out alternative medicines, but prevention is always better than cure.
The bigger sort of development is in preventing disease and really working with the environment, use of vaccines, breeding animals that are more resilient and resistant to disease so that we don't need to treat them in the first place.
Is there a place for these sort of more traditional old wives' tales, almost, that some farmers do swear by?
Yeah, it's difficult to know, if I'm perfectly honest with you. You know, as a scientist, we like to look for evidence and base our decisions around evidence. And to be perfectly honest, there's very little evidence to support many of these things. On the other hand, those that are food supplements are unlikely to do any harm. So, you know, giving a food supplement to the animals, if it does no harm, and it's debatable whether it's doing any good, but if it's focusing the farmers and others' attention on the well-being of the animals and making sure that they're healthy, then that's probably not a bad thing.
You're presenting a paper to dairy farmers today. How would you describe the state of the industry when it comes to cutting antibiotic use?
Oh, it's exciting. There's an awful lot of work going on. My own antimicrobial research group here at the University of Bristol is doing an awful lot of work with farmers and vets. Others in the industry, both vets, farmers across the industry, but also the milk buyers are also working very hard, as are the milk retailers, to help farmers to reduce their reliance on antibiotics. And we're seeing very drastic and significant changes downwards in the use of antibiotics.
Although some critics would say it is a very slow process.
Well, you know, there are always people who are sceptical and critical. One of the problems is that the data that's being recorded at national levels comes through quite late. So the 2014 data, for example, was only just recently published back in October, November of last year. So those of us working on farm are seeing reductions in antimicrobial use that are more significant, I think, than is coming through in some of the data that we're seeing. So, for example, within our own veterinary practice here at the University of Bristol, over the last 3 years or so, we've reduced our use of certain antibiotics, the so-called critically important ones, by between 80 and 100%, in some cases completely stopping their use. And I've been working with other veterinary practices and vets across the country, many of whom are reporting similar success stories.
Professor David Barrett there. That's it from us. I'm Charlotte Smith. The producer here in Bristol is Sally Challoner. Now let's cross to the BBC Weather Centre for the Farming Today 5-day forecast.